Endeavor makes a successful landing in California. U.S. experts will help the French investigate a crash in the Mediterranean. And OPD disputes a CYA by the TSA. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. I hope you enjoyed your Thanksgiving holiday weekend, but not so much that you'll have to redo weight and balance. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, December 1st, 2008. The Space Shuttle Endeavour made a clean landing at Edwards Air Force Base yesterday afternoon at 1:25 p.m. Pacific Time, ending mission STS-126. The landing was moved to California due to a cold front lingering near the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. NASA prefers to land in Florida to save the expense of repositioning the shuttle, but mission manager Leroy Kane told the Associated Press, quote, "One is just as good as the other in our mind," unquote. This was the first shuttle landing in California since Atlantis touched down at Edwards in June of 07. As ANN reported, the mission began November 14th and prepared the space station to double its maximum crew size to 6 for long-duration missions. During 4 spacewalks, the crew serviced the station's 2 solar alpha rotary joints, which allow its solar arrays to track the sun, and installed new equipment in support of future assembly missions. Aside from one tool bag, which drifted away during an EVA, and the bulky water recycling system, everything went pretty much according to plan. The U.S. National Transportation Safety Board will be sending a team of investigators to France to assist in the investigation of Thursday's crash of an Airbus A320 into the Mediterranean Sea while on approach to Perpignan. The Air New Zealand plane was near the end of a 2-hour maintenance checkout flight when it suddenly plunged into the water. The aircraft was to be returned to the airline after coming off lease to Germany's XL Airways. Of the 7 people on board, 2 bodies had been recovered by Friday, when the effort officially transitioned from rescue to recovery. Bloomberg reports 5 boats, 2 aircraft, and a search crew of more than 150 are working to retrieve the airliner's flight data recorders. Teams have detected the locator signals, but poor weather conditions have hampered recovery efforts. The NTSB team will include technical advisors from the FAA and International Aero Engines. They won't actually be dispatched until the wreckage is located and the recovery begins. A report from the U.S. Transportation Security Administration accuses the Orlando Police Department and Delta Airlines of failing to follow proper procedures in an infamous gun and drug smuggling case. On March 5, 2007, 2 workers for Comair, a Delta subsidiary, conspired to smuggle a duffel bag containing 14 guns and 8 pounds of marijuana to San Juan, Puerto Rico. The pair used an employee entrance to skirt airport security. Exactly what happened next is in dispute. The TSA says OPD got a tip that an airport worker was on Flight 933 with a weapon, and that police did not immediately notify TSA as required. Orlando Police Captain Jeff O'Dell said the tip was for contraband, not guns, and therefore was not considered a TSA issue. He also disputes the accusation of late notification of the TSA, noting that TSA agents were able to arrive at the gate by the time Zabdiel Santiago Balaguer, a Comair employee, was removed from the plane by police. A Delta gate agent then cleared the plane to leave the gate. Airport and TSA officials didn't realize there was another suspect aboard until the flight was halfway to San Juan. Thomas Anthony Munoz was arrested when the plane landed. TSA Chief Kip Hawley said Delta might have failed to follow security procedures. Munoz and Balaguer were eventually convicted on weapons and drug charges and are currently serving prison terms. Back in August, someone at Spirit AeroSystems of Wichita, Kansas, noticed the nut plates they were using to assemble 737s for Boeing were missing the required cadmium plating used to prevent corrosion. The problem was narrowed to one of Spirit's 3 suppliers of the plates, but by that time, the company had to call Boeing and fess up that the issue had been going on for a year. Hundreds of planes were affected, including many already delivered to customers. Worse, each plane uses thousands of the fasteners. Now the news has gotten worse yet. Boeing says the same defective parts have been used to assemble 747s, 767s, and 777s. Boeing recently lost 2 months' production to a strike and has suffered embarrassing delays on some of its new products. Still, company spokeswoman Beverly Holland says customers in this case are focused not on delays, but on, quote, "What are we doing to assure that this does not happen again? Nobody wants a plane to be delivered with non-conforming parts," unquote. Boeing says there's no immediate safety issue. Holland says the company and the FAA will likely collaborate on guidelines for inspection of the affected planes. Up next on ANN, ballots in another Boeing strike vote will be counted today. U.S. Airways pulls some guys wearing turbans off one of its flights, again. And NTSB explains that spectacular sideways nose gear A320 landing at LAX. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies and high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 1st. I'm Paul Platt. The decision of more than 20,000 engineers and technical workers at Boeing on two new contract agreements endorsed by their union leaders may be known late today, after the Society of Professional Engineering Employees in Aerospace, IFPTE Local 2001, counts ballots. While the majority of workers are in Washington State, the contracts also cover employees in Oregon, Utah, and California. Both contracts expire today. Ballots were mailed to members November 17th after almost 3 weeks of main table negotiations between the union and Boeing. SPEA members have until 5 p.m. today to return those ballots, which include votes on both the contracts and a separate strike authorization, which would clear the union to call a strike if the contracts don't pass. For the second time in as many years, U.S. Airways is facing an outcry over allegations of racial profiling after forcing three guys wearing turbans to get off one of its planes. Back in November of 2006, six imams on their way home from an Islamic conference in Minneapolis were removed from a U.S. Airways flight for suspicious behavior and allegedly making anti-American comments. They were handcuffed and questioned and later sued the airline. In the latest case, the Sacramento Bee reports Gulbag Singh, Davinder Singh, and Iqbal Singh aren't even Muslims. The three are Sikhs, and they were on their way to a musical performance in Salt Lake City when they were ordered off Flight 493 to Phoenix at Sacramento International Airport by the flight's captain on November 15th. U.S. Airways spokesman James Olson confirmed the incident took place, saying the men were removed from the flight based on some observations from passengers and airline personnel who cited potential security concerns. The airline provided overnight accommodations and rebooked the three on a Delta nonstop from Sacramento to Salt Lake. In a formal complaint letter to U.S. Airways, United Sikhs says it's asking for an apology and compensation for the three and has offered training for U.S. Airways staff. A nose gear steering failure on a JetBlue A320, which led to a spectacular and widely televised emergency landing in 2005, has been blamed in part on damage caused by a safety system on the plane. The flight carried six crew and 141 passengers and departed Burbank, California on September 21, 2005, bound for JFK. The U.S. National Transportation Safety Board's report says that after retracting the gear, the flight crew noted an error message on the electric centralized aircraft monitoring system listing a fault message for the nose landing gear shock absorber. So they tried cycling the gear and then got an error message of a fault for the nose wheel steering. A subsequent flyby confirmed suspicions that the nose gear was cocked sideways. The crew diverted to LAX and burned off excess fuel, allowing time for cable and network news cameras to get into position. The landing produced a bright blaze of sparks and flame, shredded the nose gear tires, and ground the wheel hubs down to the axle, but was otherwise uneventful. The plane tracked straight down the runway and no injuries were reported. NTSB says metallurgic analysis, quote, revealed that two of the four anti-rotation lugs on the nose landing gear upper support assembly had fractured. The other two lugs contained cracks, unquote. The board attributed the damage to, quote, induced fatigue from the steering system's programmed pre-landing dynamic steering tests that repeatedly cycles pressure to the steering cylinders, unquote. Compounding the problem was the brake steering control unit, or BSCU, which tried to recenter the nose gear but shut the steering system down when a second fault was detected. Airbus has since issued a procedure for resetting the BSCU in flight if needed, made a design change to the upper support assembly, and provided specific inspection requirements at nose landing gear overhaul intervals. A defense trade publication reports an independent team of Pentagon analysts now say previous estimates of time and money required for development and testing of the Lockheed Martin F-35 Lightning II are too conservative. Inside the Air Force reports that based on experience with other aircraft development programs, the independent team concluded the F-35 will likely require 2 years more and $15 billion more than Pentagon in-house program managers have predicted. Lockheed acknowledges the internal Pentagon estimate is overly conservative. The company also agrees there will be budget challenges, but tells the Fort Worth Star-Telegram it is confident it can complete the program at a far lower cost than forecast by the independent team. If Lockheed is wrong, the Obama administration will have to decide whether to delay production and shift funding to the development budget or to appropriate money earmarked for other defense projects to the F-35. Still ahead, Mesa adds insult to injury in its settlement with Aloha Airlines. A NASA astronaut invents a better way to drink coffee in space. And sometimes the people who clean airliners find more than just your old magazines. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, December 1st. I'm Paul Plack. Mesa Air Group caused a big shakeup in the Hawaiian air travel market when it launched its Go Airlines subsidiary, barging into the comfy inter-island market dominated for decades by competitors Hawaiian Airlines and Aloha Airlines. It didn't take long for Mesa's $29 fares to drive the two long-term rivals into bankruptcy. A year ago, a judge ordered Mesa to pay $80 million to Hawaiian Airlines, ruling that Mesa had used confidential information obtained under the guise of being a bidder in place of more legitimate research to unfairly compete in the market. Now, Mesa has announced a settlement with the former controlling shareholder of Aloha, in which it admits no wrongdoing, but will make a cash payment of $2 million to that shareholder, issue shares of its common stock equal to 10% of its currently outstanding shares, and provide some inter-island travel benefits to former Aloha employees. Oh, and there's one more thing. In the upcoming bankruptcy auction of Aloha's assets, that controlling stockholder expects to be able to purchase the rights to the name Aloha Airlines, which Mesa will then license for Go. If that happens, it will no doubt really tick off fans of the former Aloha Airlines. But you have to admit, it just sounds way better than Go, all in lowercase followed by an exclamation point. NASA astronaut Donald Pettit did more than just travel to the International Space Station aboard the shuttle Endeavour last month. While he was there, he perfected a zero-G coffee cup constructed of folded, transparent plastic held together with tape, and apparently it works pretty well. Reuters reports Pettit wanted to be able to sip his coffee, much as can be done on Earth, from a standard coffee cup. Quote, "We can sip most of the fluid out of these cups, and we no longer have to drink our beverages sucking through a straw in a pouch," unquote. He made a second cup for fellow crew member Stephen Bowen, who also liked the way it worked. There's an outside chance the design could even be adopted by NASA for future missions. Pettit's new coffee cup does have one very important benefit that will be hard to overlook. It allows drinking coffee quickly and without a lot of thought. And the last thing you want if you're drinking coffee made from recycled urine is time to think about it. You may have received this Aerocast through iTunes or some other podcast aggregator. If so, you know how easy and simple it is once you set up your computer. Well, NASA has decided iTunes is a great way to distribute video updates on the new Ares 1 crew launch vehicle and Ares 5 heavy cargo launch vehicle. The quarterly progress reports offer viewers a glimpse at ongoing development work. Beginning in 2015, the Ares 1 rocket will launch the Orion crew capsule, carrying astronauts and payloads to the International Space Station. The programs range in length from 5 to 15 minutes. The latest one includes wind tunnel testing of scale models of the Ares 1. And finally, you might not think of cleaning airliners as a lucrative job, but it can have its perks, especially in Spain. Marisol Aguirre is a 47-year-old Peruvian immigrant who once worked for a contractor cleaning planes for Iberia Airlines. The Associated Press reports that back in 2005, she found a bag containing $20,000 in cash in the first class section of a plane she was cleaning. She did the honest thing and turned the cash into the airline's lost and found. She tells the AP she'd almost forgotten about the fine, but was recently contacted by the airline and told to come pick up the cash. Under Spanish law, items of value are held for 2 years and 1 day, then become the property of the finder if they're unclaimed. Marisol says Iberia, quote, has been very honest and treated me very well. It's like a miracle, unquote. She's been carrying debt she incurred to attend her father's funeral. That happened about the time the cash was found. She says she can now pay that debt off and send some of what's left over to her widowed mother. She comments, quote, the soul of my father and God have illuminated me, unquote. Gee, I wonder who carries $20,000 in cash around in a bag and then doesn't come back to look for it. I think I'd hurry and deposit those bills in a bank account somewhere before I accidentally walked by a police canine unit without thinking. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, it's my weekly talk with CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves. Bob makes the case for more transition training for pilots buying their first high-performance aircraft. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCast. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.